10 years ago, I sat with my father in a packed waiting room at a hospital in Las Vegas, waiting for my mother to have a medical procedure that would determine the degree of the cancer that had begun to destroy her lungs. Mom had been whisked away with such speed that we'd hardly had time to say goodbye or good luck or even we love you before she was gone. Dad and I sat there in a daze, our minds spinning with the events of the past weeks that had brought us to that hospital, when suddenly a nurse strode through the waiting room and handed me a see-through plastic bag. The bag held my mother's clothes. They looked so pathetic, those clothes, and a wave of sorrow washed over me without warning. It all comes down to this, I thought, empty clothes in a hospital bag. 10 years ago, nearly to the day since I held that bag of empty clothes, and the image of it haunts me still. It all comes down to this, that birth ends with death, beginnings lead to endings. What once was ceases to exist, and there is nothing we can do to stop it. And yet, here we are on another Maundy Thursday, gathering around the table, sitting in the darkness, knowing how this night will end. We know how the night began, a Passover feast, the Last Supper. 13 Jewish men sit around a table as they've done many times before, but this night it's different. One of the men fingers a purse of cold gold coins tucked away in his robe. Shadows crouch in the corners, biding their time. It won't be long until the light is snuffed out and darkness wraps its icy arms around the world. The host of the feast looks tenderly at all those gathered around him. His heart is breaking. His spirit is nearly crushed. And yet, with a calm, steady voice, he speaks the words he has never spoken before. Words that are familiar to us, for we have heard them many times. But the men at the table that night have not heard the words, and they do not quite yet know what they mean. My body, broken for you, the cup of a new covenant. What strange words he speaks. The men are puzzled, but they chew the bread and wash it down with the wine and wonder what Jesus is talking about. They do not yet know that it all comes down to this. A loaf of broken bread, a cup of blood-red wine, and death. But next comes a garden. Trees shiver as the cloak of night falls in soft folds around their shoulders. Flower petals curl tight against the cool air. It should be a peaceful place, this garden. It is anything but. The host of the feast is no longer calm. Words that flowed so smoothly from his lips moments before now jam together in his throat. He mutters and trembles and paces back and forth. "Wait here," he says to the three men with him. And he stumbles away and falls to the ground and clenches the earth with fingers that have just broken the bread and poured the cup. "Please, please," he begs, "not this." But it all comes down to this. And not even Jesus can stop it. The solitude of the garden fades and the scene shifts to an angry, hateful crowd. The crack of a whip, the tearing of flesh, and a crown made of thorns, and the wine-colored blood. And a cross. Oh, what an ugly, tortuous thing, that cross. A cross for criminals, designed for pain, intended to turn death into a spectacle of ridicule and shame. How did it come to this bitter, ugly end? How did that quiet supper with friends turn into an execution? But somehow it did, and now it all comes down to this. Every man who sat at that supper table will desert him. Not just Judas, whose betrayal is obvious. Not just Peter, who before the dawn breaks will have denied him three times. But all of them, as they sleep in the garden and cower in the darkness and huddle under their cloaks amidst the bloodthirsty crowd that shouts, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Not one of them will stand up for him at the trial or plead for his life to be spared or even watch as his broken body sags on a cross. It all comes down to this. That each of us turns away because the sight of a suffering Savior is just too much to bear. That beautiful baby boy who came squalling into the world on a bed of straw, the child whose birth launched angels into joyous song and brought wise men to their knees, the one whose touch caused oozing wounds to heal and whose words stitched together the jagged pieces of broken hearts so they could beat again. This is the one who will leave the world with cries of such anguish that heaven will bow down and weep. This is the one whose wounded brow will bleed and whose own heart will cease to beat. This is the word of God who now is silenced. Because it all comes down to this, that in the end we die. Even Jesus dies. And our hearts should break because we know what Jesus knew when he sat at the table on that last night of his life. He knew that those who ate the bread and drank the cup would betray him. He knew, and still he said, "My body broken for you, my blood poured out for you." It all comes down to this night when we remember, this night when we take our place at the table, this night when darkness wins. A bag of empty clothes, a room of empty hearts, a world of empty promises, except for this, the promise of the bread and the cup, the promise of a body broken for us, the promise of a God whose breath fills the emptiness with a love that is out of this world, because it all comes down to this. Pray with me. Lord, you know, and you forgive. You know, and you call us to gather at the table. You know, and yet you offer your broken body and your blood spilled for us. You know, and you ask us to share the bread and the cup with the one who gives his life. Lord, tonight we give you ours. For it is in the name of Christ, our broken Savior, that we pray, and let all God's people say, Amen.